Hey, thank you to Helix for sponsoring this podcast. Adam has had his Helix mattress for almost a year now, and he's loving it. It's actually hard to get him up. In fact, he won't stop talking about it. You'll understand what we mean when he goes into detail. Thank you for the detail, Adam, later on the episode. But for now, we want to tell our listeners about a special deal going on. Our Sleepy Time Pal Helix is offering up to 30% off all mattress orders and, as if that's not enough, two free pillows for our listeners. Go to helixsleep.com/Paula. That's helixsleep.com/Paula. This is their best offer yet, and I'll bet it won't last long. With Helix, better sleep starts now.
Hey, listener, it's Zach Harper, Amin El-Hassan, and Anthony Mays of Cinephobe. You may be asking yourself, what is Cinephobe? Amin, would you like to fill in the people?
Cinephobe is the podcast where Zach and I watch movies that are poorly rated on Rotten Tomatoes and try to ascertain.
Ascertain?
Yes.
Okay. Ascertain.
Whether or not they're accurately poorly rated, or maybe they didn't get a fair shake. Cinephobe, produced by this guy, Anthony Mays.
Hey, that's me. I produced this show. I also watch the movies, even though that wasn't included in the description, and I also ascertain. This month is...
Whoa!
Oh, Maze, why do you say that? Supercharge it. So that this promo can remain evergreen.
I feel like explaining a little bit more.
In 60 seconds?
I don't know. Maybe I don't bring attention to it. Assuring people like, look, if you listen, you're going to get it. Just give it time.
That's a good promo. Just listen to it.
Give it time.
You'll figure it out.
Is this the promo right now?
Isn't it?
Okay, I think we got it.
Cinefo.
Wherever you get podcasts.
Coming to you live from the Ray Horseman Studio in North Hollywood, California, it's Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone, your comedy field guide to life. Tonight, Early Man. Who did we come from? Are we really any smarter than when we were Neanderthals? And if so, how do you explain Sean Hannity? Biological anthropologist Chris Carlson is here to help us excavate the facts about early man. Plus, Paula tells us about her ball launcher. Should I feel squeamish? We'll find out. I'm Adam Felber, the man who tries to keep this show's hunter-gatherers roaming the conversational Serengeti plains on the trail of the prey. And now, please welcome the woman who follows every topical gazelle over the prehistoric cliff, Paula Poundstone! Welcome, Paula Poundstone.
Thank you very much.
And a warm welcome and thank you to returning champion, tonight's house band percussionist Ian Werfel.
That was terrific, Ian. Thank you.
All right.
Adam, I just got a ball launcher.
I just mentioned that in the intro.
I did. I got a ball launcher.
What do you mean?
It's a machine that you drop a ball, because my dog, Mo, the pod puppy.
Pod puppy, who's now gigantic.
You know, when I went to get a dog to begin with, when I was going to get a puppy, somebody sent me a picture of a yellow lab mix that they had found.
Oh, it's a lab mix. Okay.
Well, she isn't.
Okay.
But they said, do you want this dog? And I said, no, because labs are so tennis ball-y. I just don't want that energy.
Right.
You know?
No, they're super tennis ball-y.
Right. So I got this dog, Mo, who is part golden retriever, part Newfoundland.
And you somehow thought that a dog bred to retrieve would be less tennis ball-y.
Well, I grew up with a retriever, and he was not tennis ball-y.
Well, maybe he
this
had some
dog
brain damage.
Is unbelievably tennis ball-y. All she cares about all day long is maybe you're going to throw the ball. She
I hope everybody can hear her drinking water in the background because it's an amazing sound.
She's preparing her mouth for a tennis ball. That's
really
what she does. She likes to keep it moist so that the tennis ball is nice and slobbery. So anyway, so I saw, I don't know, on the internet somewhere, this thing. It's called a ball launcher. It's a machine. You drop a ball in a hole on top, and it shoots out a hole on the side.
The fact that there was a machine called a ball launcher on the internet, and you went ahead and assumed it was for tennis balls is... God bless you, Paula Poundstone.
Oh, for heaven's sakes, what's happening over there?
Your dog is destroying the studio.
No, Ray Horseman has decided to do some remodeling, and he's knocking down the roof.
Yeah. He's been studying at the Bonnie Burns School of Crinkle.
All right, so I
the Crinkle Conservatory.
I asked Wendell if he would order the ball launcher off the internet, and he was like, I'm not doing that. He said, that's going to be a cheap piece of Chinese shit. It's not going to work. She gets the balls too wet with her mouth. It's going to break a day after you get them. I'm not going to do that. I wasn't asking him to pay for it. So I managed to...
I know Wendell, and he doesn't really sound as much like Wilford Brimley as you just made him sound.
No, but he's very negative.
Oh, yes,
he's
that's
in,
good.
He's a member of the negative club, and apparently he's preparing his keynote speech for their next meeting.
Oh, wow, that's quite an honor.
And it's about the ball launcher. So
he's like,
the dog has too much, the ball gets too wet from the dog's mouth. I said, Wendell, any dog has spit in its mouth, so that would be they would already know. So anyway, so
they would take that into the design.
I would
philosophy.
Think so. We get this beautiful ball launcher over
from China,
and he was away at the time when it arrived, and so I had time to train the dog to learn. Because you have to train the dog to drop their own ball.
Oh, so it's
not
like it's not just like a tennis ball. Serving machine.
No.
The dog actually drops the ball back in.
Drops the ball on the top. Took me about, maybe four sessions, 2 days, to teach her to drop the ball. Pretty much the minute she learned to do it, it broke. Apparently, cheap piece of Chinese shit. She's got a lot of drool in her mouth. I have no idea. I think I have to send it back, but I don't really know how to do that either.
I bet you're going to be willing to send it back rather than tell Wendell what happened.
I've kept it very quiet from Wendell. No, I think it has something to do with the tariffs. I think this is the Chinese way of getting us back for the tariffs. You know, they're like, oh, we're going to make a very faulty ball launcher.
Faulty ball launcher.
Yeah, this will.
I was in a band in college called
States.
Faulty Ball Launcher.
You were not.
Yeah, well.
Faulty Ball Launcher. And then it's been a bad, commercial period of time for me, because then I was having a party, and for years I've used plastic disposable plates. But here's the thing:
right,
I go through the trash the following day and take them out, and if they're not broken, I wash them and reuse them. In fact, I even wash them if they are broken because I like it to be nice in the recycle.
Wow.
But, after all these years, it dawned on me, why don't I just buy regular plates since I wash them anyways? So
yeah.
I did. I bought a bunch of, and the same thing with the plastic silverware. I bought a bunch of regular plates. I went to the Bed Bath & Beyond. They didn't have it in stock, so they ordered it for me online. And now I'm in the Bed Bath & Beyond We Keep Emailing You Club.
You can just hit unsubscribe on one of those emails.
That was my hope. But so it came like the day of the party, the day before the party. Of the 40 plates, 9 were broken.
Oh.
I ordered 40 forks and 30 spoons, and they sent me, 56 spoons and 14 forks.
Wow, that's not even close to the right number.
It's 70, though, is the interesting thing.
Okay,
apparently,
so the
stuck
count
with
was
70.
Right. Yeah, okay.
So the guy at the fulfillment place is putting in spoons, and he realized, uh-oh, we don't have enough forks. She ordered 70 pieces of silverware.
Yeah.
I'll just make up for it with spoons. And they are not the same.
As forks?
No.
No, they're different. I gotta say, now
my dog's
now
chewing
your
on
dog
a bone
is,
really loud.
Yeah, it's like everybody except Captain Crinkle is making noise tonight. It's the weirdest fucking thing.
Ever since her ball launcher broke, she's been kind of edgy.
Yeah.
She's made a lot of noise.
But
since
I guess my point is, Paula, they make soft toys for dogs. They make toys that make less noise than this big clanky bony thing she's chewing on.
She's chewing on a bone. She just found that on our way in.
Oh, on Miranda Street.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There was a guy, it's apparently a drug deal gone bad, and there was a guy laying out there dead.
Right.
And
His femur.
She just took his bone.
All right.
Yeah. There's no shame in that.
Fair enough.
You know what I'm really excited about tonight, Adam?
What's that?
Is that we have a 100th caller contest. We're having a contest. Our 100th caller wins any appliance from Roger Federer's appliance store.
Okay.
And a chance to hang out after the game with Adam Felber.
Wait, to hang out with me?
Yeah, this is fantastic. People are so excited about this.
There's so many things wrong with that. I'm not even sure where to start.
Yeah, but this is going to be... Answer the phone, Adam. Answer the phone.
I do not want to answer the phone, Paula.
Answer the phone, Adam. Answer the phone.
Hello?
Hey, Adam! It's me, Mike Boom Boom Bonifant.
Hi,
am
Mike.
I the 100th caller?
No, you are not, Mike. You're the first caller. And again, I don't know how you're calling a pre-recorded show.
I was so hoping I was going to be the 100th caller, man, because, I already hang out with you after the game, but like...
We never hang out, Mike.
I'd like a big refrigerated beer chest where it plays AC/DC when you open the door.
And you think that that might be available at Fetters?
That, exactly. That's what I could get from Fetters.
It's not Fetters. It's Fetters.
When you open the lid, it plays AC/DC. It's going to be so fucking cool.
It's not, and it doesn't. And you're not the 100 caller, Mike.
I'm not the 100 caller. Okay. I gotta go. I gotta call back.
No, Mike. Don't call back. Oh, Paula, what have you done?
Yeah, we got that, ladies and gentlemen, again, that's the 100th caller contest.
Don't do this to me.
So call in.
Why would you do this?
So and the winner gets to choose anything they want from Roger Federer's appliance store, which is right across the street from
us.
All right,
and if you're listening, just know that it's called Federer. It's an appliance store that is not affiliated with the Tennis Champion, and most of the stuff in the window doesn't look like you'd be psyched to come down here and get it.
That's right. Call it. It's the 100th caller contest. You get anything you want from Roger Federer's, which is an appliance store across the street from us. And also, the winner gets a chance to hang out with Adam Felber after the game.
That's not up. Don't call if that's what you want, because if it's Mike or Winnie, I would rather not. Okay? I'm very
anybody
busy.
Anybody can call, Adam. Okay. Anybody can call. It's 100th caller.
We should discuss this at our meeting.
We're going to take the 100th caller.
This is the kind of thing that we should have talked about beforehand. Your enjoyment level is
so
unseemly,
about this contest.
Stuff.
I know there's a buzz, certainly on Miranda Street.
Sure there is.
About this contest.
Why don't you just tell me about your car, Paula?
That's 100th. Oh, you know what? There's a bad smell in my car.
Yeah.
It's like a fruity smell. Wendell thought that I had eaten an apple and left part of it under the seat.
Oh, I know what that smell is.
That was his theory. Do you know what it is?
I know how an apple left alone smells.
Oh, apple left alone?
Yes, you leave an apple alone
too long. The smell of a lonely apple.
The smell of a lonely apple is...
I have no... But it's gone on for months, first of all. An apple
okay, that's too long for
an
apple would have...
I have no idea what it is, but it's gross. And I don't hang those gross-smelling things from my...
No, because that just masks an odor. But, like, have you had your car professionally cleaned?
At one time or another.
No, since the fruity smell appeared.
Not by a car wash guy, but by a lawyer.
Okay. Not talking about that.
Yeah, professional.
Yeah, however, what I mean is...
I can't get a doctor to clean my car.
You don't want a doctor.
I can't even keep a doctor. You know, I have this thing where anytime I get a doctor, they retire.
They retire immediately, yeah.
Yeah. Maybe it's because
I've seen how much diet soda you put down. I'm not, you know...
No, it's not a hard job to be my doctor, but they do. They retire right away.
All right. You don't have one right now?
Do I have a doctor right now? Yeah. No, I don't.
Oh. Well, if you want to be Koala Poundstone's doctor, call in. The second caller gets that job.
I would love that. I would love to have... Adam, answer the phone.
I don't want to.
Adam, answer the phone.
Hello?
Adam, I can't believe I got thrown the phones to you. Am I the 100th caller?
I don't know.
It's me, Winnie Feynman.
I was going to ask. I didn't recognize your voice, Winnie, because
it's me. It's Winnie Feynman. Adam, am I the 100th caller?
You're not.
I just have to win. If anyone else gets to hang out with you after the game, I'll wear my brassiere too tight for a month just to punish myself. I will.
Wow, Winnie, don't do that.
I just have to win. Also because I gave you my mother's crock pot and she's really mad.
I didn't receive it, Winnie.
Ma, I'm going to get you another one.
I told you not to send it to me.
I'm not asking Adam for it back.
I would send it back, but I don't have it.
It's important to me that he have it.
Winnie, I don't want your mom's crock pot.
Ma, I'm going to get you another one. I've almost won. I got to go, Adam.
Oh, Jesus Christ, Paula. Honestly, what have you done? What have you done?
Oh, man, this is going to be an exciting show.
This is
because the phone is going to ring off the hook.
I just want to die right
100th
now.
100th caller. 100th caller. So call in.
And I've got nobody to protect me. Tony Anita Hull is sick tonight.
Yeah.
She'd run
she
into
says
fear.
She's sick. She went home so she could call in.
Oh, boy. So the fruity smell.
Yeah.
Get your car cleaned by somebody.
That's a good idea. Never even occurred to me, honestly.
I mean, honestly, why? You could just take it to a car wash. They do interiors at car washes these days.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Yeah. You know, I'm a...
or you could get on your podcast and talk about it.
Yeah. Well, maybe we could just have a 100th caller contest for anybody who wants to clean my car and get the fruity smell out.
We ask our listeners to do so much for us.
Wendell thinks that it's from... we have these ficus nidida trees out that line our street, and... So you can't help but park underneath one.
Right.
And he thinks it's the berries have dropped down into the engine, and that makes the smell.
Well, I was about to say that I think something has happened in the engine. And
you thought
blowing
it was in the engine?
Car. Yeah.
Oh.
Dead body in there or something.
Maybe. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because Mo's always trying to get under the hood, the pod puppy.
Well, there's
so
another
maybe
clue.
There is a dead body under there.
Yeah,
she's
probably
looking
trying
for another
pull
femur.
A bone from there.
Yeah.
All right. Vocabulary words, Paula. Do you have a vocabulary
word? You know, I do, Adam. I have a vocabulary word. It was submitted by nobody, Thomas Beck.
Oh, wow. People are sending us words now.
Yeah. The word is gallimafry. It's a noun that means confused jumble or medley of things. Hodgepodge.
A hodgepodge.
Yeah.
I have read that word. I would never have known how to pronounce it.
You know what? I've used the word, but
have
I
you?
Was using it incorrectly.
What were you using it to indicate?
I like a wide variety of things.
Oh. Well, that's in the ballpark.
No, but this definition indicates that it's more of a confusion, more of a jumble.
Yeah, a
of
jumble
things,
of things.
A hodgepodge.
You might find in a junk drawer.
Well, precisely. That would be a... Here's an example. I'll use it in a sentence.
Okay, great.
My desk is covered in an impossible gallimafry of stuff.
Gallimafry.
Yeah. You know, I wish my brain had enough horizontal space to house every week's vocabulary words, but they keep sliding off onto my brain floor.
Yeah, that's right.
Creating a gallimafry of words. So I've created, and this may surprise you, but a vocabulary song try to help my memory.
Right. And Paula, now listeners are starting to write in and talk about how much they love your song, but...
Oh, that is so nice.
It's so nice. But again, it's different every week, and thus... As a sort of a musical mnemonic device, it does not work.
Oh, it's worked for me.
It does?
Yeah.
All right, well then, so why don't you sing this song without reading the lyrics that you have in front of you?
Oh, it doesn't work that well.
Well, that's what a song that helps you memorize words is about.
Well, it takes time, Adam. It takes time.
Okay,
all right.
Well, let's hear it.
I mean, I can't sing all of Hey Jude or what's the one, American Pie.
Okay.
But I can sing parts of them. Do you see what I'm saying?
I hear you saying that you can sing some parts of some songs.
That's exactly what I said. All right. Okay. Here's the best I got.
Okay.
This week's word is gallimafry. It's a noun that means confused jumble or medley of things. Hodgepodge. Oh, shoot. Hodgepodge. Who's podge? Hodgepodge. Last week's word was opsimath. It's a noun that means person who begins or continues to study or learn late in life. Let's be clear, that means older than me.
That's a good dig. Oh, you brought a triangle.
The week before that, the word was magniloquent. It's an adjective that means lofty, pompous, or high flown in speech or style of expression. Going back before that, the word was soporific. Sopor what? Soporific.
Okay.
Wait,
is that the end?
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah, we need that triangle solo.
That was a solo, yeah.
Okay.
Soporific, that's terrific. It's an adjective that means causing or tending to cause sleep. Adam doesn't think my song is replicable, but I do, I do, I do, I do.
Wow, Paula, that was terrific. Be careful, Ian Werfel. Paula has become a percussionist now, too.
Oh, my gosh. That really takes it out of you, I got to tell you.
It does.
Both creating the song, you know, creatively,
yeah.
It's very difficult.
That's got to be a painful process.
And the performance. Whew, boy.
Yeah, no, the performance is difficult for all of us, Paula.
You know what I reflect on as
especially
I'm doing
me.
It? I think a lot about Bette Midler in The Rose.
Why do you think about her there?
It just feels very similar.
It's not. A couple of things. Just a couple of little notes. Can I give you some constructive notes?
No.
Okay.
No.
All right. But you did that line about it not being replicable?
Yeah.
You couldn't even get through it once.
Well,
so it's not even about it being replicable.
I had to stop a couple times because I made mistakes and I didn't want
to. And that's the other thing I wanted to bring up. How would you know if you made a mistake singing this song?
That's a ridiculous question. You can tell.
Oh, I couldn't.
Let's not stickle over it.
I'm not going to stickle. What does stickle mean?
Argue over something unimportant.
How would that sound in a song?
Several weeks ago, we had stickle. It's a verb that means argue over something unimportant.
All right. I stand corrected. I mean, it's a wonderful song, Paula. You know, I really like it. And I'm saying that not because I believe what I'm saying, but because I don't want the phone to ring.
An opprobrium. Adam, that's an opprobrium.
What do you mean?
Well,
look, everybody.
You lied to Miss Poundstone. You lied.
All right. I am sorry about that,
well,
Mrs. Culpepper.
Here at Nobody Listens to Paul Poundstone, we are very honest.
very, very honest.
We try to be. And Mrs. Culpepper, welcome. How are you tonight?
Well, I'm fine. I hope you'll notice that I'm wearing this evening my ruby satin dress.
I hadn't noticed, but it's nice.
Yeah. I love wearing my ruby satin dress.
I love puppet time.
Captain Culpepper always appreciated my ruby satin dress.
And he doesn't like it anymore?
Well, no, it's not that he doesn't like it very much.
He's moved on to different tastes, different fashions.
Well, he's moved on, in a word.
Oh. Oh, no.
Many years ago, Captain Culpepper passed.
He passed away. I'm so sorry to hear that, Mrs.
Yes,
Culpepper.
He did. It was a tragic event.
Really?
Since the passing of Captain Culpepper, I've become an opsomath.
An opsomath? What does that mean?
It means someone who continues to learn or study late in life.
Oh, you look young, Mrs. Culpepper.
Well, thank you so much,
you look
Adam Culpepper.
Just very young.
I appreciate that so much.
Yes, you're no opsomath. You're just a learned woman who I'm desperately sad to hear about the captain, though.
Well, it was a very sad thing. A very sad thing.
I'm sure. Do you want to talk about it? Maybe sometimes it helps to talk.
Oh, not really. It brings up a bad, sad feeling.
I don't want to torment you, but I mean, he was such a famous military man. I'm sure all our listeners have heard about
him. He was a proud military man, that is correct.
And news of his death, though, reaching our listeners right now, is bad enough without details.
Well, of course he died from,
heroically.
Not so much, although he was quite heroic. His death was caused by tyrotoxism, Adam, which is poisoning by a cheese or dairy product.
Okay, well, I feel like thank you for sharing. That sounds horrible.
It was horrible.
Yes, and I'm not going to draw you out any more about it, because I know it's really painful.
I appreciate that. It was a cheese or dairy product.
You don't need to tell us whether it was a cheese or a dairy product. We're fine not knowing.
It was the Gouda that got him, Adam Culpepper.
You didn't have to tell. And you know, Ms. Culpepper, I've never asked you this, and I doubt you'd remember next week if I had, but was it a smoked Gouda?
It was not a smoked Gouda.
It was just a Gouda.
It was just a Gouda.
Okay.
It was a Gouda that got him.
Did you yourself have any of that Gouda that day?
I did not. When I saw the captain keel over.
Yes, Captain Keelover.
I decided that perhaps having some of the Gouda was not a good idea.
Well, it turned out you were absolutely right. All right, well.
I can read a room.
It's that native social intelligence that so many Southern women have, where they can just look at a room and tell you who is asphyxiating from tyrotoxism.
Oh, yes. The gasping and clutching at his chest was enough to tell me, don't share the Gouda. Don't grab the Gouda.
All right. Well, thank you. Thank you for that, Mrs. Culpepper. And now, thank you for that word, Thomas Beck. Send your words or your vocabulary songs to us at nobodylistenstopaulapoundstone@gmail.com. We love that gallimimetry of listener letters. Now, coming up, evolutionary biologist William Calvin said, paleoanthropology is much like doing a jigsaw puzzle without a picture of the pattern. Chris Carlson is here to help us put the pieces together so we can get a picture of early man. That's when we return on Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone. Hey, Paula, it's been almost a year now since I got my Helix mattress. And as you remember, there was some drama surrounding Helix mattresses.
Because when Helix first
sponsored us, Bonnie took the mattress and she's been loving it. But finally, I got my chance to get a Helix mattress and I sleep so well. I mean, the family bed is where we all gather. We watch movies in our room occasionally and everybody just piles on it and it's comfy. And yet when one person hops on, the other half of the mattress doesn't fly up. I'm a fan.
Well, you know, Adam, everybody is unique and everyone sleeps differently. That's why Helix has several different mattress models to choose from, each designed for specific sleep positions and feel preferences. Models with memory foam layers to provide optimal pressure relief if you sleep on your side. Models with a more responsive foam to cradle your body for essential support in stomach and back sleeping positions. Plus, enhanced cooling features to keep you from overheating at night. And if your spine needs some extra TLC, they got you. Every Helix mattress has a hybrid design combining individually wrapped steel coils in the base with premium foam layers on top. It is the perfect combination of comfort and support.
I agree with that last bit. I don't get all the technical stuff about the mattress, but it is soft and supportive. Helix offers 20 unique mattresses, the award-winning Lux, which I got, and ultra-premium elite collections, the Helix Plus, a mattress designed for big and tall sleepers, and the Helix Kids mattress, designed for growing bodies and endorsed by child sleep experts, and my daughter now wants one. So, how will you know which Helix mattress works best for you and your body? You go to their website, take the Helix Sleep Quiz, and you find your perfect mattress match in under 2 minutes.
You know, when you said you can't follow all the technical stuff, it's really not that technical. You know, no matter what way you sleep, they have a mattress that will support and comfort you. How hard is that?
You know, when you say it that way, it seems a lot simpler. I take it back. That's my boner.
And your personalized mattress is shipped straight to your door, free of charge. And Helix knows there's no better way to test out a new mattress than by sleeping on it in your own home. That's why they offer a 100-night trial and a 10 to 15-year warranty to try out your new Helix mattress.
Well, I like that there's a warranty, but they can pry that mattress from my cold, dead hands. I took the sleep quiz. I was matched with the Helix Midnight Lux. I got the Lux. And I love it. It is such an upgrade from my old mattress.
You know, I think Bonnie got the Midnight Lux.
She did.
Too.
Yeah.
You're not here. Don't want to take Adam's word for it? Well, you got Bonnie's word. Helix has been awarded the number one mattress picked by GQ and Wired magazine. It's even recommended by multiple leading chiropractors and doctors of sleep medicine as a go-to solution for improving your sleep. Your sleepy time pal Helix is offering up to 30% off all mattress orders and two free pillows for our listeners.
That's a lot, and it's already not that expensive a mattress. Go to helixsleep.com/Paula.
That's helixsleep.com/Paula.
This is their best offer yet. It's fantastic. It won't last long.
With Helix, better sleep starts now. Well, not right now.
And if you're going to get it anyway,
use our code. On this day in unremarkable history, Adam said, "Eve, of course we'll still be friends. I just think we should see other people."
And we're back. Paula, you have developed an interest in early man.
Who hasn't developed an interest in early man?
Well, many people, but you are one who has.
I've met some people who did that stupid 23andMe thing.
That's more narcissism, isn't it?
I don't even know what the point of the 20th. But, and by the way, they give that information to the government, so don't do it. But I have met people who have done the 23. Okay. You don't want the government knowing your DNA stuff.
Why not?
You know what? Then why do they want to?
Because they think they might be able to do something with the data someday.
Yeah. Like track you down like a wild dog when we have a dictatorship and you're a protester. That's exactly what they're going to do with it.
Okay.
I've met some people who did that stupid 23andMe thing, and right. They found out they were part Neanderthal. So I started thinking about early man. Is there a difference between the ape and Neanderthal descendants, and who did we come from?
Oh, those are some good questions, and we have someone here, as I've previewed, that can answer all of them. Christian Carlson was trained as a biological anthropologist at Indiana University and completed postdoctoral research in the Department of Anatomical Sciences at Stony Brook University and in the Anthropological Institute and Museum at Zurich University, which am in Switzerland. He's on the faculty of USC's Keck School of Medicine. Please welcome Dr. Chris Carlson.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here.
Thanks for joining us. All right. So where'd we come from?
Oh, that's a long story.
Oh, okay. I need it in 10 words or less.
Africa.
No, you don't have to do it in 10
Africa?
Words or less.
Africa? Africa, yes.
That's
yes.
A good one. Yeah.
That's where the story begins. Okay. And then it takes a long, winding course.
And is there a difference between apes and Neanderthals in terms of lineage?
Yeah. So that's really sort of a matter of stage or time.
When we branched off, you mean?
Yes. Okay. Yeah. So Neanderthals... hundreds of thousands of years, apes our early ancestors, that's millions of years.
Oh.
So you're saying we branched off from Neanderthals. But I thought I read recently that we actually have a lot of Neanderthal in us.
Well, this is very much a contentious issue.
Right. It's right now. It's happening. Right.
Yes.
Like you're getting happening. In fist fights daily at USC.
Yes.
And conventions.
Wait, Chris. When you say it's a contentious issue, between whom?
Well, a lot of different scholars are arguing about this, and a lot of it's based on ancient DNA studies and morphology and sort of disagreements between the two. But based on the ancient DNA evidence that we have, Neanderthals originated probably in a line that split from modern humans about 300 to 500,000 years ago.
Okay.
But apes, that is, of course...
That's millions of years ago.
Yes, yeah. We're all apes, by the way, so... Neanderthals would also be apes. All humans and human ancestors are apes.
So you say
well.
When you're talking about the million years ago split off, you're saying between, even though we're technically apes, we split off from what we now look at as apes.
Yeah, so our lineage and chimpanzees would have split about 7 or 8 million years ago.
Oh, that was a difficult split. I love the idea of being ape. I don't know. It just makes me feel good. How do we find out about, how do scientists learn about early man? I mean, is it like black hole stuff where it's all just a guess?
It's a lot of careful work out excavating fossils, finding fossils, first of all.
Mm-hmm.
And then a lot of careful, detailed comparative study, looking at differences in morphology of bones, trying to look for differences in DNA sequences.
And how good a DNA sequence can you get of a Neanderthal? Like, how do we know that, as we've learned recently, that humans have more Neanderthal DNA than we had previously supposed?
You're basically getting small pieces of DNA that you're replicating and then trying to put together a puzzle from about three pieces.
Oh, okay.
But
it's small chains. There's no Jurassic Park mosquitoes in amber who bit a Neanderthal out there.
It's pretty difficult. Yeah, okay. It's not full sequences. But I think we don't really have an opportunity to get DNA from much older ancestors than Neanderthals. So that's sort of right now pushing the limits of what we can get.
Mm-hmm.
Gotcha.
So do you think there's beings before that we were?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But we don't have that. We don't have, like, evidence of it.
The genetic evidence is not as nice, but we have the fossils. We have quite a nice amount of fossil material. Some is our ancestors going back to 7 million years.
Oh, wow.
But isn't a lot of that disputed? You find what looks like a skeleton of an early man, and then somebody else will figure out, no, that's actually that's not a direct
ancestor.
It's
Joe from down the street.
Yeah, exactly. It's Joe. The dog dug him up.
Joe went missing for a while, and now we found him. He just got tired one day. And
this is what makes conferences so lively in the debates. And the
So they have conferences?
Yeah, we have conferences where we...
Have you been to one of those conferences?
I try to go to, yeah.
And what are they called?
Actually, interestingly, in April, there's a big one in Los Angeles here, the American Association of Physical Anthropology annual meeting.
And what will happen? Are there like breakout sessions and stuff? Will there be a catalog of different little talks that you can go to?
Yeah. So everyone's presenting their research, and it's students and it's faculty, people from outside the U.S. as well.
Are you going to present?
Yes.
What will you be presenting on?
Some work that I'm doing looking at modern human variation in the femur.
In the femur?
Yes.
With the
yes.
thing that the pod puppy is chewing on
yeah.
right now.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
Wow. That's why he was growling at you. You were trying to take it from him for your presentation.
Now, what's going on with the femur? Why is that interesting? Why are variations in that interesting?
Well, for us, for humans, this is something that's very unique because of our bipedalism.
Our what?
Bipedalism.
I don't have that.
Yes, you do.
No, what is
we all have it.
What's bipedalism, Chris?
Walking on two legs.
Oh.
As opposed to something like another living ape that would be quadrupedal that walks on four legs.
Uh-huh.
Or two forelimbs and two hind limbs.
So wait, you're going to say something about bipedalism?
He's going to talk about the way that the femur shape has changed.
Wait a minute. Yes. He's doing the presentation. Are you going with him that day?
No, I'm not going there. I'm just getting the sense that he's confusing you a little bit.
No,
so I'm trying to be
confusing.
A force of clarity.
You're going to create a codependence here. He's going to go to talk at the conference,
okay.
And he's going to be like, well, Adam?
Yeah, that would be bad.
Yeah.
Although I can make it that day if you need me.
Oh, thank
absolutely.
Goodness.
But anyway, tell Paula about the femur and why we care about it.
So one of the things that's really interesting is the distribution of bone within the femur. So it's not just how much bone is lost over time, but how the bone is distributed, and that very much reflects how the femur is used. And so this is one way that we can sort of get an idea of what fossil organisms were doing by looking at the distribution of bone within their limb bones.
Oh, so like the pattern of the way the bone breaks down over time. If you could figure out how that's due to the way we walk, you might be able to figure out the way that ancient animals walked.
Yeah, something like that.
Okay.
Couldn't it just be that while it was laying there, some of it oozed out?
Probably not. No.
Okay.
That was a nice shot in the dark, though, Poundstone. That was.
It just seems to me.
I like that you tried to solve some physical anthropology questions just like that.
Well, you know, I know that. Is it niacin or is it nitrogen that will decompose? It could be either one.
Decompose?
Yes, bones.
I am not going to answer that.
I'm asking him.
Yeah, okay. See, I'm getting better at this.
So it's one of the two that they use to break down bones, right?
During the decomposition process, there would be gases like this that would be coming off, but I'm not familiar with actual gases being used to decompose the bones. Fireworks? Fireworks, not
fireworks.
Two words, yes.
See, this is what happens when I don't butt in.
Oh, my gosh.
You're talking about niacin, and he's talking about fireworks. Go ahead, you two, knock yourselves out.
What a great burial that'll make. All right, which was the group that lived in caves?
So the very famous Clan of the Cave Bear series was written in the 80s, and the latest book, I think, was 2011.
Yeah.
In that series, the group, Ayla, who was the lead character, she represents sort of modern humans, and then her fellow cave dwellers were representing the Neanderthals. So,
now, did that happen? Not the plot of the book, but were humans, early humans, and Neanderthals shacking up in caves together?
Our best evidence indicates some hybridization.
She was like adopted in the Clan of the Cave Bear, the main character.
Yeah.
Had been born to a more humanoid family. And then she got left behind because she hadn't done her homework. And it's common punishment among humanoids.
I'm almost sure that's not the plot, but okay.
The Neanderthals came along, and they didn't even know what homework was.
So they were like, we don't do that either.
So they took her in.
Okay.
And that was the story. Did you read that book, Adam?
I did not, Paul.
Okay.
I did not read that book nor see that movie.
Well, Chris, here is an important question for you about that book. Why was Daryl Hannah cast as the lead in the movie?
That's a great question.
Adam?
Yeah.
I think it was probably a poor choice because I'm guessing that blonde hair didn't exist back then. That's just a guess.
Did blonde hair not exist back then?
I think probably it would have existed. Pigmentation varied at that point along north-south Klein. So, yeah, I think blonde hair would have
There could have been
existed.
Blondes?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that's maybe why she was cast.
I guess so.
Yeah. Do you disapprove of that casting?
It was terrible. Yeah.
No, that movie's
honestly
terrible.
I don't think I saw the movie because I liked the book.
Okay. Yeah.
All right, but all this maybe is drifting a little bit from...
Yeah, can I get back to something that Chris said just a moment ago?
Yes.
You said there's recent evidence shows hybridization.
Yes, so...
To me, what sounds like...
Like a Prius?
Nothing like a Prius,
is it recent evidence of a Prius? I drive one.
You do drive one.
Yeah.
And it smells funny.
It does.
Why does her Prius smell, Chris?
It's got a fruity smell, Chris. Have you noticed that?
I think it's from the decomposing berries from the trees that are falling into the engine.
He knows a lot about decomposition.
He's an expert at decomposition. So Neanderthals and early humans were getting it on and having kids.
So this is where it becomes very interesting with the ancient DNA that... Some of us still have some small amounts of genetic contributions from Neanderthals, those of us living today. But most...
I've met a few people who did that stupid 23andMe thing and found that they were part Neanderthal. What does that mean? Once you have that information, what do you do with it? Like when you have a family reunion, do you have it on a carpeted floor so that when their knuckles drag, it doesn't hurt as much?
I would say probably not for that. Yeah. Yeah. No, I don't understand. I've never done 23andMe.
Yeah. Doesn't make sense.
Is it even a good test, 23andMe, or are they just kind of like bargain basement sort of looking at your genome?
I've also not done it.
Okay.
I would be a little bit skeptical of giving my DNA away.
There.
Yeah.
Exactly.
But apparently the Neanderthals were just giving it to anybody who asked. So there right, you
so
go.
So they did, though.
You're talking about caves full of wadded up tissues.
They did. All right. So they did. Commingle, though.
Well, so if we look at some of these caves, there's evidence at the different layers where you have alternating occupations.
What do you mean? I'm a plumber, I'm a baker. Like that?
Well, evidence of the caves being used by different groups, and then the tools that are distinctive for modern humans or for Neanderthals are also in these layers of refuse.
What? Give me an example.
The Chatel Perronian, the Aurig Nation, these different tool traditions is basically it's basically types
I'm not
of
telling you.
Chateau. What was it? Chateau. That sounds like a kind of wine. What was it you just said?
The Chatel Perronian and the Aurig Nation. These would be types of technologies. You could
like
say.
What? Is that an overall umbrella title for a particular kind of technology, or is that like just a fancy ass way of saying hammer, and you just won't say hammer?
A hammer in a stone sense. So it's these are different forms of stone tools.
Okay.
That are connected with the makers, and so we don't really ever find them in the same layer. So we can't say that they're occupying caves at the same time.
You could read the name on the toolbox. I mean,
yeah,
honestly,
really
read the name on the toolbox.
So you dig down, and at like say 3 feet, you find a hammer, and then you dig down another 10 feet. And you find
a more special hammer.
A more special hammer.
Yes. So I was in a band in college that was called More Special Hammer as well.
So they didn't come up with like the handle for years. Is that right? It was just before that was just a rock.
Well, hafting is a very recent technology. So
wedding
hafting,
hafting
where you're taking a stone and fixing it to a handle, either wood or bone or something like that, to make a rudimentary knife. Most of the stone tools would have been handheld stone, so the pieces of stone with a sharp edge, for example.
Probably multi-use then.
Yes, and there's
back then they were just looking for a stone that would be a good shape to do that thing, right?
Well,
and then they started actually crafting them into something.
Yes. So
it wasn't rare at all, I assume, for the mother Neanderthal to turn to the daughter Neanderthal and say, "Go get me the stone." And the kid would run out and get, "No, not that stone, the stone."
Within their toolkit, they may have been having different options.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, you know what? We're going to continue this. Let's take a quick break. Stay tuned for more with Chris Carlson and Early Man right after this. The cat of the week is Zuzu from Los Angeles, California.
Adam, you know I have a house full of cats and a couple of big dogs. So I have this one cat who every night likes to stand in the hallway and yowl. And he has kind of a little bit like me because of allergies. I don't know why he has it. But his name is Theo, and he has a really gravelly voice. So he'll... It's hard to describe it. I can't do a good impression. But it's a little dusty, gravelly voice. Okay, so earlier I was laying on the living room floor because I'm exhausted and I'm wearing a nylon fiberfill vest. As I'm laying on the floor, Theo shoves his head through one sleeve of the vest and crawls up and is now stuck inside in between my back and the vest and is yowling because he can't get out. And then finally his head comes out the other sleeve and he goes out. What's not to love? That's what I say. What is not to love?
Which brings me to this. Today's episode is sponsored by the ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program.
Your pet is part of your family, you know that already, and you want the best for them no matter what. But vet bills can really add up. Go ahead, ask me. That's why you should check out pet insurance. And with ASPCA Pet Health Insurance, you can focus on the care your pet deserves and cover what matters most.
The ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program offers customizable accident and illness plans, making it easier for pet parents like you to help your pet get the care they may need. The ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program has been around for over 18 years, and they've helped more than 600,000 pets during that time. That's a lot of pets.
True.
They allow you to customize your plan, helping ensure that your pet's plan is as unique as they are.
Because vet bills can really add up, especially when you're least expecting it. It's simple. Use their app to submit a claim, and you'll receive reimbursement for eligible vet bills directly into your bank account.
To explore coverage, visit aspcapetinsurance.com/Paula. That's ASPCA. We spell that ASPCA. Petinsurance.com/Paula. This is a paid advertisement. Insurance is underwritten by either Independence American Insurance Company or United States Fire Insurance Company and produced by PTZ Insurance Agency Limited. The ASPCA is not an insurer and is not engaged in the business of insurance. And if you're going to do it anyway,
use our code.
Nice. It's sounding so primitive back there. It's nice, Ian. All right. We are back now with biological anthropologist Chris Carlson. Chris, during the break, you said something that you hadn't gotten to about how we find information about early man.
Yeah, there are, I would say, one of the best places to find this type of information is in local museums. And, for example, the Smithsonian has a really great informative website where you can find out a lot of information. The major museums in L.A. and Washington, D.C., New York, Cleveland, Chicago are great. In fact, in early February, there's also there will probably be public lectures in areas where you, close to where you are, because it's International Darwin Day.
International Darwin Day.
Yeah, I don't know if it's a Hallmark holiday, but it's...
Not unless
your 23andMe profile shows that you have Neanderthal.
I got to get a card for International Darwin Day.
I never know what to wear on Darwin Day. It's an evolving outfit.
That, the thing about what to wear, what makes us think that they wore the, the shift thing with the off-the-shoulder...
Are you asking this question based on, like, Fred Flintstone and caveman movies?
Mostly, yes.
Okay.
But somewhere we came up with that idea, not just in animation.
So the skin over the shoulder in sort of like a half...
Tunic.
Yeah, so the a lot of that's sort of all made up.
Really?
Yeah, but
you
people
think it's created by Hanna-Barbera?
We have evidence of about 40,000 years ago there being sewing needles or something like that.
Wow.
40,000.
Yeah, yeah. So in the series that was produced with the Clan of the K-Bear, this was set in the period around 30,000 years ago. So that would work, but
a needle threader probably didn't come around for another couple hundred years, which is why during that period a lot of early man was cross-eyed.
Just trying to thread those
exactly.
little tiny needles.
How hard that is to do.
Well,
really gives you
yeah,
a
that that must have been that.
Why do we think they used clubs? Same thing. Did that get made up too?
Well, I think there's probably a little bit less evidence for a club per se, but certainly a weapons in general.
Like what kind of weapons? What were the early ones?
There's pretty
a rock
or. Yeah, rocks.
Yeah.
Sticks, a rock but, shaped like a club.
Sticks, but maybe not quite like those, like a baseball bat, but fists.
You're just trying to explain to her that the Flintstones was inaccurate. Is there any evidence
the
of early neckties?
No, not really.
Blue neckties?
No. Interestingly, some of the earliest evidence we have for clothing comes from some interesting work that's done with looking at evolutionary divergence of lice. So the divergence of head lice versus body lice.
Oh.
And sort of the appearance of body lice.
Doesn't look good.
No, roughly.
No, he means like when they appeared.
Oh.
So it's.
But they are ugly.
Yeah.
You're not wrong.
Yeah.
It's been suggested that maybe as long as 170,000 years ago, you see body lice appearing because of the use of maybe early clothing.
Why would that make body lice?
They're sort of favoring, rather than the head with hair, they're favoring other areas with hair and underneath clothing.
Oh.
So what is it that lice do differently under clothing that they need to adapt for that? For?
Dance.
What's different?
They dance. And a lot of lice are very shy.
The head lice never dance.
Yeah. No, they don't. But the underclothing lice, they do like to dance, but they're very shy and they prefer to do it privately.
Interesting. Did not know that.
Yeah.
I suspect it's not true. Chris, so what's different about the lice on your body? What do they need to do differently besides dance?
I suspect it's a different microbiome. So it's sort of a different environment that they're used to. But this is our best evidence for clothing earlier than, say, 40,000 years ago.
But you haven't found, like, a fully intact outfit.
No. No.
No. At what point do you find clothes in these layers?
I suspect, well, in these layers, certainly we don't have any evidence for Neanderthals or modern humans of clothing.
Because their clothes were so cheap.
Yeah, right. Chinese.
They broke down easily.
They were cheap Chinese clothes.
Wendell's angry about the way cavemen
dressed. They were still upset about the tariffs. And about when did they invent the wheel?
So this is an interesting question because It's around 5,500 years ago, and it sort of appears in many places at
just
once.
Just 5,500 years ago?
Yeah.
And many places at once?
Surprisingly early. Yeah, Eurasia and Mesopotamia, so that would be areas like Syria, Iraq. And it's not quite clear whether it was used for transportation purposes, which makes sense.
Or just fun?
Or pottery wheels.
Oh, that's just plain weird, though. How would someone think of pottery wheel before they would think of
a wheel?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because is that another hot dispute at your conferences?
That one's not quite argued as much, no.
Okay.
Oh, man, I'd like to see them duke that one out.
But why did the wheel change civilization that much? It seems to be the go-to thing that people say when they think they know about early man, like, the wheel changed everything. Is the wheel the greatest thing since the invention of the wheel?
So around that period of time is also when the Neolithic period is ending and farming has begun to change, sort of radically change how humans organize themselves.
Uh-huh. So you're saying the wheel really was all that and a bag of chips?
It was probably, it was probably interconnected with several different factors.
And why was the next most important invention sliced bread?
It wasn't.
It's either the greatest thing since sliced bread or the wheel. The bag?
The bag. Do we have evidence of when they invented the bag?
That I'm not sure about.
The little guy that they found.
Why bag?
Because it's a great invention. Yeah. The little guy that they found on the edge of the Alps.
The Tyrolean Iceman, maybe?
The little Iceman.
Yeah.
He had a bag.
I think, that's a little bit more recent. I'm not quite sure how old.
Oh, that
was
much further down the road?
That was like 1800 or something?
Wasn't 1800.
No, I think that was, I'm guessing a little bit, but that was maybe only about 2,000 or 3,000 years ago.
Okay.
Still, he had a bag.
Yeah, but you got to think, bags are pretty simple, Paula. Like, that's got to be one of the first inventions. When your brain gets sufficiently big to realize, oh, me have a lot of tools, how do me carry them around? Seems like the first thing that you would do is take an animal skin and tie up your tools. It doesn't strike me as a really crazy great invention.
It is a great invention. You ever try to carry your stuff without a bag?
Yeah, no, I'm. It's definitely a great
thing
to have around. Do you want to weigh in on this, Dr. Chris?
People are willing to risk destroying the earth with a plastic bag.
Right.
Because they so want a bag.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
Bags are very important.
I'm not saying they're not important. I just don't think they're that
interesting. You could not have a car and you could just walk to the store and then walk home again. But you don't have a bag. You are fucked.
Yeah, they're useful. They're useful.
Thank you. Chris, is there any room in the conference that you're going to be at for me to present talking about the bag?
There would be no room for conferences, presentations, but you could certainly come and ask those types of questions.
Oh, man, would
please
I love to
don't
do that.
Do that.
pick me. Yes, I have a question.
Oh,
hi.
My God.
Hi. Thank you for asking me, Doctor. I'm from Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone. When did the bag get invented? I think it's
all right, how about
question.
Fire? Where does fire fall in on the timeline of bag, wheel, and sliced bread?
So the question there is it a controlled use of fire or is it sort of just an opportunistic use?
I think controlled use is kind of where the rubber really hits the road, right?
That would be much more recent.
Like a Bic lighter kind of thing?
In the sense of versus opportunistic, because the evidence for earliest sort of use of fire would be close to a million years ago.
Really?
So we're talking used to a do long what? Time ago.
So there would be a fire and they would run over to it and use it somehow.
And roast
is
something.
Is that what you mean?
It's possible. I mean, we can find burned bone that we would know that they would be the people or the hominins would have been cooking items.
But so the hominins.
Oh, not burned bone like somebody got hit by lightning, but like genuinely burned bones.
So the hominins would just
hominids.
They would sit around a pit with no flame in it, and they'd have some raw meat, and they'd go. Should I wish there'd be a fire soon? And then, like a forest fire would start somewhere, and they'd rush over and cook. Is this accurate?
I think that the it's not very well understood how the early use of or transportation of fire.
Well, they put the meat in a bag and they ran.
They probably would have to run to where the fire was.
Right, this is my point.
Yeah. And then run from the fire as it spread.
Again, we don't have great evidence for how they could have been transporting fire, but we know based on sort of the, for example, the appearance of burned areas or burned levels in cave deposits, that there was a fire. And with the organic remains of animals, like inorganic sort of remains
in the caves.
Yes,
I'd say the fire's in the cave. They brought it in.
Well, this is nice indirect evidence. Yeah, but it's not clear whether it was a Bic lighter or if it was like a burning bush or something.
It was some kids getting high, looking
getting
at
high
a Playboy magazine.
Now what have I
there.
Done?
Now let me about these caves and the layers. Why are there layers? Like when each family moved out, they bring in some dirt, like instead of painting. Why are there layers?
This is over time. You would have either sediments blowing in from outside the cave, or at times the roof of the cave would collapse, and so.
And then another family would move back into a cave with a collapsed roof. That's a fixer-upper.
Yes, and so you would have this sequence that you could talk about from sort of the earlier occupations to later occupations.
If it's just filling up with dust that gets blown in, so that's a long period of time in between layers.
We're talking about long periods of time. Yeah.
There'd be a cave-in or something, and nobody would be, we were nomadic, I guess. And then, like, hundreds of years later, somebody would wander in and go, like, this is not such a bad place.
Well, it's the old Granville place.
And don't go there. It haunted. Some early man as Scooby-Doo.
We could be talking about thousands of years as well. So,
oh, wow.
So some of these caves have deposits that can, for example, Border Cave in South Africa that can be over 100,000 years.
Between uses?
Well, like a sequence. The between use periods wouldn't be as great as that. But
it goes to show that real estate was a lot less valuable back then.
Yeah. Probably still had my landlord. Nick, fix it. All right, so how did the groups organize? Do we have any evidence of how they organized?
So I think this is sort of social systems. It's not something that fossilizes, so we have to have indirect evidence from living primates, living apes, other apes, for example.
And you ask them? Is one of them going to speak at the conference?
More we watch them.
It's Flint from... Jane Goodall is going to have a little... Remember, Flint was the one that used the tool. How arrogant of us to think we were the only ones who used tools. Like, how many years did human beings believe that that was one of the things that made us human?
Until, a lot of years.
Yeah.
But we had to ignore evidence that was right in front of us that of animals using tools.
Well, just the other day, a puffin scratched himself on a stick and people were all over themselves about it.
Did that happen?
Yeah.
A puffin scratched himself with a stick.
Yeah. Did you see that? And it was the first evidence of seabirds using tools.
Wow.
Yeah. It's not just primates, as you say, that are using tools, but all sorts of animals.
Yeah. If we don't lock up our chainsaw in the garage, the pod puppy uses it all the time.
Does she?
Animals use tools.
All right. So we don't know how those groups organize, is the short answer.
Well, no, we have a pretty good idea of using indirect evidence. For example, the origins of agriculture and farming. When you have a larger group of people that are coming together in division of labor that allow for specialization in sort of technology, you need a reliable food source.
Right.
And so this is why sort of the earliest cities are happening in areas where agriculture is emerging. And
oh, because a lot of people gather around, a lot of people pitch in on the farm, and the next thing you know, you need somebody to make the pots.
Yeah, yeah.
And
that's
and,
where the wheel
and,
comes
and tell the jokes.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Early us. at what point, Chris, did we decide against facial hair?
Well, I mean, some of us.
Some of
us.
Chris and I both have a little bit of facial hair, but
yeah, you guys have returned to facial hair.
Yeah,
but there were any number of non-facial hair. I mean, at what point do you think shaving came in? What layer of cave?
That's probably 20th century.
20th century? Yeah. No.
No.
No. I've seen plenty of epic films. And a lot of those. You know, Moses alone.
Yeah. Charlton Heston.
He got a beard later in life.
Charlton Heston shaved. I'm sure of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good. That's good evidence right there.
No, I don't know how old that goes back. But loss of hair is another question that we could ask. And it's something that sort of.
You mean loss of body hair?
Yeah. In general, loss of hair. Not so much on the top of the head, but that's something that humans differ from other apes, for example, is sort of loss of body hair.
Well, that's true, right? I never really thought about that. Huh.
You didn't notice that we have less hair than apes, Paula?
I just didn't process it.
Really? Because it's kind of an important detail that most
people have.
I wonder
if apes ever look at us and go, man, if I could get my hand on a razor.
They might. I think we look good compared
to them. I would be a person in no time at all.
Well, Chris, thank you for helping us understand the origin of species, and now we're going to turn it over to Paula. Paula, what advice can you give our listeners based on what you just learned about early man?
Ian, can I have a little Neanderthal music to underscore this summation of what I was able to take in? They find lots of information about early man from digging in caves. They think the depth of what they find indicates the time period from which it came. Of course, keep in mind, things must have gotten a little dull in the caves here and there, and so there was nothing to stop them from digging stuff up and reorganizing it to fuck with future generations. So they think the wheel is fairly recent, only about 5,500 years old. The Wheel of Fortune, on the other hand, is about 5,000 years old. There is no evidence of clothing in the caves. The leopard tunic may have been made up, which doesn't, of course, bode well for the camera with the bird in a clay box who pecks out an image on a clay square, and the woolly mammoth dishwasher. Often, the father of early man would take the kids into town on the weekend to run errands, and they'd go to the hardware store where the clerks were knowledgeable. Yes, sir, how can I help you? Do you have anything for digging? We're putting in a basement. Yes, sir, we have some rocks on aisle 4.
What's going on?
Do you have any tools for scraping? We do, some nice rocks on aisle 3. Do you have any tools for throwing at wildebeests? Yes, sir. We have some fine rocks on aisle 2. Fantastic. Can I get a bag? Not yet.
Okay. Chris Carlson is an associate professor of clinical integrative anatomical sciences at USC's Keck School of Medicine, my old job. Chris, thank you so much for being on our show.
Thank you.
Thank you,
it was a pleasure to be here.
Such a pleasure to have you. Coming up, more stuff. That's right after this. Fun fact, a group of buffalo is called an obstinance, but a single buffalo is called Kevin.
Hey, Paula. You know, every once in a while, we get a new advertiser that I get super excited about. And I have to say, just because of the circumstances of my life, right now, I'm really excited about our new advertiser, Quince, of Quince.com, the clothing provider.
not to be mistaken for Quince from Midsummer Night's Dream. And let me just say this, and maybe it's not important to an advertisement, but when I was in the fourth grade, our class put on a production of A Midsummer Night's Dream.
Okay.
And I played Peter Quince. There's the connection.
One of the mechanicals. That's a great connection. Also, yes, has nothing to do with this, which is that Quince is an online clothing store. And as you know, Paula, I've lost a little weight lately.
Oh, right.
75 pounds, yeah. So I literally have no clothes that are in my size until I just ordered some stuff at Quince. And I figured, like, here's a chance for me to create a new look for myself. A whole new image.
And how's it going?
Not bad. I mean, the clothes are fantastic. I know that you ordered some too. What I got is yes. The Comfort Stretch Traveler 5-pocket pants. And I got I got the 100% European linen shirt, and it looks breezy and it fits beautifully. And these are like premium pieces of clothing that are selling for like, you know, $30 a piece or starting at $30 at quince.com. It's awesome. I look good.
I ordered the brushed lounge jogger.
Ooh.
And, you know, I put them on when I came back from New York. I pulled them on and I swear to you, okay, this is not scientific because I was tired already.
Right.
But they were so soft and so comfortable that honestly, like right as I got them up to my waist, I think my eyes closed. They're so, it's a softness. It's a kind of softness that I don't think I've ever experienced in a garment, honestly.
You know, my drawstring European linen trousers are a little bit like that, too. Like, so comfortable that I just want to hang out with myself.
Sure. Yeah. And they're European. Keep that in mind.
European. They are so European. And you can get those kinds. You can get washable silk tops. You can get 14-karat gold jewelry and, like, all these accessories.
Quince sells a lineup of timeless pieces that keep their customers looking effortlessly chic year after year. I'm not certain that I look chic, but certainly if I did, it's not going to take a lot of effort.
I now look chic and I feel pretty great. And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabric. It's all good as far as I can see.
Is it my imagination or do they cut out the middleman?
They cut out the middleman, Paula Poundstone.
I love it when they cut out the middleman. That's the thing, they cut out the middleman. That's fantastic.
So be like me and Paula. Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/nobody for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/nobody to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/nobody. And honestly, I look fantastic. Paula, you won't be able to keep your hands off me.
Oh, I can't wait. And don't think that if you had to return something, don't think you're sending it to a middleman because they cut out the middleman.
They cut out the middleman. That's quince.com/nobody. And if you're going to do it anyway,
use our code.
Paula, we're back. That was quite a journey you took us on there with your sum up of the physical anthropology.
I'm pretty sure it's accurate.
Yeah, okay.
I'm pretty sure it's accurate. Hello, Adam Philpott!
Oh, no.
It is French Trump!
Look at that. The other hand puppet on this show. Trump.
I am trying to unite the world not in the fight against despotism.
The fart against despotism?
Not in the fight against despotism.
It sounded like fart
poverty,
again.
Poverty, okay. Ass, or global warming. I am trying to unite the world in a fight against Joe Biden.
Joe Biden.
Joe Biden.
Joe Biden. Yes, yes, yes. We've established
Joe Biden.
Biden.
I'm trying to unite the entire world in the fight against Joe Biden.
Why are we fighting against Joe Biden? Because you're running against him.
That is right. We.
Can I ask you? I don't think I've ever asked this
Sometimes,
question.
Sometimes, Adam Philpott, you may ask me a question.
Is this one of those times?
We.
Okay. how do you feel about France?
I love France.
You do?
I love France. I don't like Macron.
Okay.
I don't like Macron.
Okay.
No, he made fun of me.
French Trump.
He made fun of moi.
Okay.
He laughed at me.
Well, a lot of people laughed at you.
They're going to be laughing at the other sides of their faces. You know, it makes me very sad, and sometimes I need comfort. Adam
comfort.
Philpott. I need comfort. Some nights, Melania will come to my bed.
I find that very hard to believe.
She will lie down beside me while I lie to her.
She will lick me all over with her tongue. And
her,
then
her what?
Her tongue. And then I get out of bed and towel off with a moist towelette.
Why am I hearing this?
When I come back, Melania will say to me, Donald, ma tongue is exhausted. Talk dirty to moi. And I will say to her,
oh boy.
Impeachment! 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 Those are dirty words to me. And Melania.
I see.
And her tired tang.
And her tired tang.
Her tired tang. Couldn't you do me a favor?
Yes.
Can you look into Joe Biden? I must speak with people from all over the world to what? Ask them to look into Joe Biden.
What has he done? What has Joe Biden done?
We want to know. He's done awful things.
Yeah.
He's done awful things. The things he has done are awful.
They're awful and nonspecific.
We are going to find out. Wait, just you wait. Just you wait.
Wait.
You find out what Joe Biden has done. And I'm answering the phone.
Paul, what?
Huh? Answer the phone.
Hello.
Hey, Adam. I can't believe I got through, man. Am I the 100th caller?
Who's this?
It's me, Mike Boom Boom Bonifit.
Mike Boom Boom Bonifit?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Am I the 100th caller?
No, you're our third caller.
Oh, fuck. I just called to say I'm glad I'm not an early man. Get it, early man?
No, I don't get it at all.
Comes. You get it? You get it?
Wait, early... No, I don't. What is this?
Like early man.
What does that mean?
You know.
No, I don't. What do you mean, Mike? You're glad you're not an early man?
Yeah, you know. Early man. The last detail.
The last detail?
Yeah.
Mike, you make so little sense to me, but I really don't get this
one.
No,
man, you and me, like, we connect on a different level, you know what I mean?
We don't connect on any level.
You know, man, that's why I fucking love you. I really do.
I wish you'd stop.
You know, like, I don't know why you work with that girl. She doesn't really understand you the way I understand you.
No, Paul Poundstone is a colleague and
she's
a very close...
She's a fucking bitch!
Hey, now, Mike,
you
cut that out!
I don't know why
that's
you work
out of, that's
her.
Out of
no,
line,
man.
Mike.
She, listen, I gotta go. I'll call you back, man,
because
I won't be the 100th caller.
Oh, God damn it. Well... All I can say is that at least...
Adam, answer the phone. What? Just the phone is ringing off the hook tonight because of the 100th caller contest.
Is that
Adam,
what's going on?
Yeah, answer the phone.
I don't think I'm
going
to answer this one, Paula.
No, Adam, it's not fair. We promised
you never
listeners.
Answer the phone. Why do I have to answer the phone?
Because a lot of the people want to speak to you. Go ahead. Answer the phone. 100th... Go ahead. Answer it. Say a 100th caller contest. May I help you? Go ahead.
Okay. Hello, 100th caller contest. May I help you?
Am I the 100th caller? It's me, Winnie Feynman.
Oh, Winnie Feynman.
Am I the 100th caller?
Winnie, no, you're not the 100th caller.
Adam, I don't care if I have to call you 96 more times. No one else can hang out with you. Plus, my mother is really mad about the crockpot.
Well, Winnie, if I get the crockpot, which I haven't, I will happily send it back to whatever address you put on it.
Oh, don't. That would break my heart.
Winnie,
that would just break my heart, Adam. I just want to have a connection with you. Adam.
Winnie, I got. Can I lay something
Adam,
on the
line? What's your favorite flower?
My favorite flower?
What's your favorite flower?
I don't know that I have a favorite flower, Winnie.
I just would like to know something about you that other people don't know.
I
and
feel
I
like
have
every.
My heart.
I don't want you to have that in your heart. I feel like every detail I give you is going to create in your mind a connection between us. And Winnie,
Adam,
I like having you as a fan, but that's.
Thank you so much. That
far
means
as,
so much to me.
Now, that's the first part of a sentence.
Thank you so
Winnie.
Much.
Oh, Winnie.
Oh, keep the crock pot.
I don't want
the
crock pot. I have a crock pot.
Oh, my God. The thought of you putting in the meat chunks and waiting all day for the meat to stew just makes me so happy.
This can go to a very bad place very quickly, Winnie, and
no,
I don't want to.
No, I'm the happiest I've ever been.
Oh, boy.
What's your favorite flower? Go ahead.
I don't know. I like roses.
Oh, I love roses.
You do?
Adam, I love roses.
See,
I
now,
love you so much.
Winnie, I don't like how much you love me.
What do you mean?
I feel like you've got to love me less.
Adam, I'm going to go. I'm going to call you back.
Okay, fine. Jesus. Paula, this contest was a terrible idea.
It's a great idea. Adam, answer the phone.
Wait, what?
Answer the phone.
I don't want to.
Answer the phone. It's a 100th caller contest. It's not fair.
Hello, 100th caller contest. Can I help you?
Adam, it's me, Winnie Rose Feynman.
Winnie what?
Rose.
Is Rose your middle name?
No, it is.
Oh, Winnie.
Am I the 100th caller?
You're not the 100th caller. You are, wait a minute, you are the fifth caller, if you count these two calls as...
Ma, I gotta make some more phone calls. Will you get away from me? I'm gonna call you back, Adam.
Winnie, wait, Winnie. While I have you,
yeah.
Would you put your mother on the phone?
No, I don't think it's a good idea for
I'd like to talk to your mother, Winnie.
I don't want you to text my mother.
Why not?
Adam, I love you so much.
How old are you, Winnie?
32.
Oh, that's great. Well, now I know that. All right.
How old are you? This way here. See, I love this because we're exchanging information.
We're not exchanging any more information.
I've never told anyone before that I was
32. You've never told anyone how old you are?
No, when I get pulled over, I lie.
How could you lie? You have a driver's license, don't you?
Yeah, I changed it with a marker.
Changed it to what?
You're the only person who knows that I'm 32, and I know that you like roses and my... new name is Winnie Rose Feynman. This is so beautiful.
Your middle name is not Winnie Mo. Winnie
no, it's
Rose
not
Feynman.
Winnie Moe's. No. You're thinking of Paper Moon. Do you Paper Moon? I love Paper Moon.
I don't want to talk about what I like because it feels like you're just using it.
I'm not using it. I just love you so much, and I would really like you to have this poem that I've written for you.
A poem?
Yeah.
Don't write me a poem, Winnie. Oh, for God's sakes, don't.
I have to call you back because this is only the fifth caller.
Okay. Bye, Winnie.
Bye, Adam.
Oh, well, at least these callers got rid of French Trump, so we've got that going for us.
Adam, I have a cute little cat story for you.
Do you? I love your cute little cat stories, Paula, except they don't usually end up being very cute.
Oh, no, they're adorable.
Okay.
My cat, Hardy, just a couple of days ago... climbed behind the washer dryer, the stacked unit that's in a little enclave with a wooden door in front of it in my kitchen.
Enclosure, I think. Yeah.
Thank you. And I didn't latch the door. And so she climbed behind the washer dryer.
Uh-huh.
And I couldn't get her out because
it's a narrow space.
It's narrow space. Thank you. Yes. And so I had to call Wendell. And Wendell came over and he had to cut a hole in the back of the pantry on the wall that connects, that is the...
He cut a hole in the wall to free the cat.
Yes, he did. And were you there?
No.
So he cut a hole in the wall. But he said to me, okay, look down here on the right-hand side where I'm cutting the hole to make sure I'm not hitting the cat.
Yeah, because that would be bad.
And while he's cutting on the right-hand side, I felt a pair of claws in my sweater on the left-hand side.
On your sweater?
Yeah. She was crawling out on the left-hand side.
So she was getting out without the wall hole.
Yes, but when I turned back around to the left-hand side, she went back down there. And eventually, she came out through the hole on the right-hand side. And now she's good, and I've been petting her.
And you have a hole in your wall.
Yeah. It's a cute little cat story.
All right. Well, that was, in its defense, I'll say it wasn't horrifying.
No, if I hadn't looked on the right side, and he had sawed into the cat with that electric saw, that would have been horrifying.
Stop sawing when you get to the part of the wall that bleeds.
Yeah, yeah. But she was fine. She was good.
All right, well, a rare happy ending to that. Now, Paula, speaking of hotel soap, Paula, you're going to be on the road.
Yeah, I am going to be on the road.
Where are you going to be performing?
You know, Adam, I hate promoting myself.
I know.
It's the one part of my job that I honestly really dislike.
Okay. So let's just get back to our callers,
though. I'll be in Dallas, Texas on February 29th at the Winspear Opera House at the AT&T Performing Arts Center. In Baltimore, Maryland at the Krausch... I don't even know how to say that. Krauschar.
You just look to Captain Krinkle for the pronunciation of that place.
It's Krauschar.
It's the Krauschar.
At the Krauschar.
Yeah,
oh,
it's
of
Krauschar
course.
Auditorium.
What was I thinking?
You're going to be in Baltimore, Maryland at the Krauschar Auditorium.
I don't have eggs anymore, but if I did, I would give birth and I would name my next child Krauschar.
Regardless of what gender.
I don't think it matters. Do you?
Not with a name like Krauschar.
No, Krauschar.
So that's Baltimore, Maryland at the Krauschar Auditorium on March 13th. And hold on, that's not all.
Really? What else do I get, Paula?
A Ginsu knife. And I'll be in Boston at the Wilbur Theater on April 17th.
The Wilbur? I've been to the Wilbur. That's a lovely theater.
Wilbur's great. I've been there many times. I love it. I love it so.
Now, let me ask you something. Will Poundstone pussy pillows be available at these events?
They will, and boy, is Wendell upset about that.
Why is he upset? Oh, because he makes the pussy pillows.
Yeah, Wendell makes them in a sweatshop that is my son's old
room. Your son's old room. Now, are they selling well enough that it's really starting
They're
to wear
on? They're going like hotcakes.
They really are selling a lot at the gigs.
You know, a lot is a relative term, but
Well, given that they're handmade by Wendell, any number is a lot.
Yeah.
So that's good.
Yeah.
So
and our cats play with them, very much enjoy them. So the Poundstone Pussy Pillow, ladies and gentlemen, is a maybe 3-inch by 2-inch kind of canvas pouch.
It's a sack,
thank you, with a grommet in it.
I wish we still had Dr. Chris here because he could tell us at what point early man invented the sack.
Or the catnip toy.
Oh, yes.
That came along very early to get a lot of the saber-toothed tigers were waylaid by that. So there's a grommet in it so you can put a string through it. I do not provide the string.
Now, Paula, I take issue with this.
I can't do everything. On one side, there's a little cat joke, and on the other side, I am happy to sign the Poundstone Pussy Pillow. And by the way, pussy is a term of endearment that means kitty.
Of course. What else would it be?
I don't know, but people say stuff.
I'm happy to say that my contribution to this is that I named the Poundstone Pussy Pillow.
Poundstone Pussy Pillow.
Didn't think it would stick.
My daughter was horrified when she heard. She's horrified. She's like, oh, Mom.
I'll send her my apologies.
Wait till she sees my tight gap jeans.
Your tight gap
anyways,
jeans?
Anyways, I'm happy.
Oh, the ones you bought in spite.
Yeah, I did it just to upset my children. I'm happy to autograph the other side of the Poundstone Pussy Pillow
now,
to your cat,
ladies and
gentlemen.
Now, if you're willing to go to all that trouble,
yes.
Why not just include a string for the grommet?
I'm just not going to do it because then people want more and more and more from me.
They're not going to want more and more.
Get the phone. Adam, answer the phone.
Oh, Jesus Christ. What are we calling this thing again?
100th caller contest.
Hello, 100th caller contest. Can I help you?
Hey, Adam, it's me, Mike Barfett. Am I the 100th caller?
No, you're not, Mike. You're number six.
Shit, son of a bitch. Hey, Adam. Man, you are absolutely right. She should include the string at the Poundstone Pussy Pillow.
Mike.
What the fuck is the matter with her? What skin off her back? Is it just her? Is it that the expression, skin off her back?
No.
Well, that's exactly what I meant.
Off your nose.
Oh, yeah. What's skin off her nose is it just going to include a string? Why the hell, cheap bitch, why wouldn't she include a string?
Mike, come on.
Fuck, she could just include a string. What the hell?
Mike, I have my disagreements.
Cats everywhere are just going to stare at that thing on the floor. And they're going to look up at the owners like, you didn't get a string? See what I'm saying?
I kind of see what you're saying,
yeah,
Mike.
Yeah, am I the 100th caller?
You're not. You're still caller number six as you were at the beginning of this self-same call.
All right. I gotta go, Adam, because I'm gonna have to call a bunch of times.
Michael, can I give you some advice?
I don't want anybody else hanging out with you after the game, man. That is my rule. That is my thing. I hang out with you after the game,
We've
right?
never hung out after the game, Mike.
I love going to the game with you and then hanging out. That's what I love.
I gotta tell you, Mike, this show is starting to wind down. There's not going to be a 100th caller.
Oh, no. There is going to be a 100th caller!
God damn you, Paula Poundstone. All right.
Let me tell you, there's going to be a 105th caller on this show.
All right. Well, you can buy your Poundstone Pussy Pillow only at Paula's events. We're hoping one day to sell them on Paula's brand new website.
It's going to be up.
Oh, Captain Crinkle says it's gonna the new website.
Captain Crinkle, just stop talking.
The new website's gonna be up any day.
Okay,
now.
By the time you're hearing this,
so excited about the new website.
I know
that it's like she's waiting for the birth of a child. She paces the floor. She's had a new website shower.
Well, there's a 0% chance then that by the time the audience hears this show, it won't be up because that website's gonna be up. And you'll be able to buy your Poundstone Pussy Pillows on that website.
Oh, my God.
That's amazing. At paulapoundstone.com, where you can also find out about Paula's upcoming performances. And once again, if you want to reach out to us, the email address is nobodylistenstopaulapoundstone@gmail.com. We'll be back right after this.
According to climate scientists, we have 9 years and 49 weeks until the Earth begins to become uninhabitable. Welcome back, all you nobodies. Paula, do you have any message this week for the fans listening to Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone?
I do.
You do? You always do, Paula.
Adam, I certainly don't have to tell you that this podcast has changed our lives.
Yes.
I mean, you get phone calls
maybe even
from...
shortened.
No, no. This has enriched us. You get phone calls from fans that are just devoted to you, and I know that feels great.
It does not.
So we both hope we can keep making this podcast, but it really depends on continuing to grow our listenership. Mm-hmm. So we ask that our listeners share with their friends, coworkers, and loved ones how much they enjoy Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone, the comedy podcast. The problem, and I know you know this.
Well, you do say it every week.
The problem is that many listeners find that an awkward conversation.
False premise.
Luckily, I have created some simple sample dialogue to whip those lumps.
All right. Well, what do you have for us this week?
Try this.
Okay.
Listener, you look fantastic. Your hair's grown so much since I saw you last. I'm sorry. I've just been so busy with my new business, Fly Dry.
Fly Dry.
Yeah. Listener's friend, congratulations on your success with Fly Dry. How has it been for you? Listener, I'm loving it. You know me. I've always loved to wash clothes and skydive, so it's perfect. Listener's friend, well, it's such a clever idea. A customer drops off a suit of clothes, a dress, or a uniform that they need cleaned and delivered lickety-split. You wash it, then get in your Cessna plane, fly over the customer's location, put the suit on, and skydive in to deliver the clothes, which dry during your rapid descent. Did you ever think it would be this popular? Listener, I had no idea. We started with a couple of emergency wedding cleanings, dropping through the sky with my head and upper torso buried in a wedding gown with a 5-foot train billowing behind me was great advertising.
Why are we doing this?
After that, the Washington Nationals baseball pitcher Sean Doolittle got mustard on his uniform before a home game in the World Series. I landed in the bullpen just in the nick of time. Then the Pope spilled red wine on his robes. I parachuted into Panama just in time for the papal presentation. It really took off from there. Listener's friend, how did you come up with this idea? Listener, I've never told you before that I listen to Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone, the comedy podcast. I've wanted to, but it felt awkward. See, Adam?
Oh, I see.
Listener's friend, and the podcast suggested that you wash people's clothes and skydive to deliver them? Did they teach you to skydive? Uh-huh. Listener, no, it's just that it's such a funny, wild show. Paula seems to really think outside of the box, and I guess it just inspired me. They didn't teach me to skydive, but I have learned stuff from listening. Like, if you mix up the tracks when you're putting up a song on iTunes, it can be hell. Listener's friend, wow, I had always wondered about that. Well, that's fantastic. Thanks for telling me. I'm going to listen to Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone, the comedy podcast, too. So that's a good idea. See, that way there, someone can encourage a friend or a loved one to be a listener as well.
Oh, yes, Paula.
And in this way, we grow our listenership.
Yeah. Now, that one's just not even in the ballpark, Paula. I mean, that's kind of beyond the pale. I mean, sometimes I feel like you're coming up with entertaining dialogue that maybe would be somewhat similar to a situation that somebody might have, but
somebody might have this. Now that they hear this, this kind of business is going to pop up everywhere.
Oh, wait, well, this is a new wrinkle then. You are suggesting that...
Speaking of wrinkles,
yeah,
you know, it'll steam itself while the uniform will steam itself.
It will not.
It will.
No,
it doesn't. Well, then why did the Pope use it?
Well, the Pope didn't use it, in fact.
You're
saying that this business doesn't exist.
They did it before his papal presentation
in Panama. Papal presentation in Panama, where he presented the people with Poundstone's pussy pillows?
He did.
Yeah, sure, I'm sure he did. But what you just...
The Pope loves the pussy pillow.
He sure does.
It means kitty.
Yes, of course it means kitty. I mean, what the hell else? But I guess what I want to point out is that you are now suggesting that your simple sample dialogue will inspire people to invent the businesses that you're inventing in your simple sample dialogue and thus create the conditions for them to
use that simple sample dialogue to recommend our podcast?
Yeah.
That's a long way to go, Paula Poundstone.
No, I think we're going to find, I don't know how to even check the numbers on how many listeners there are, but I think if you check tomorrow, you're going to find there's a lot more.
Yeah, we'll see about that.
Yeah, Adam, answer the phone.
I really don't want to.
Adam,
I think we're done with this.
Answer the phone. No, answer the phone.
I don't hear it. Is it ringing?
Yes, it is.
Look,
Adam,
Paula,
answer the phone.
I'm in the shower. Can
Adam,
you get it?
100th caller contest. May I help you? That's how you say it. Go ahead.
Hello, 100th caller contest. May I help you?
Adam, is that you? It's me, Winnie Feynman. Winnie Rose Feynman.
Hi, Winnie.
Am I the 100th caller?
No, you're not, Winnie.
All right, I'm going to have to call again. Bye.
Wow. She is overwrought, that Winnie Feynman.
Adam, answer the phone. Answer the phone.
Really?
Yeah.
Hi, 100th caller contest. Can I help you?
Adam, it's me, Winnie Rose Feynman. Can I have your home number?
No. I mean, obviously not. That wouldn't be part of the contest anyway.
All right, that's number 7. I got to go. Bye.
That was actually 8, Winnie, but okay. All right. We're going to be fine here. Paula, I want to end the show as soon as possible.
Do you? Okay. Yeah.
It's interesting because it's only been those two super fans calling this week.
Well, there'll be other calls, surely.
I think
the 100th caller contest, it doesn't mean it has to end today.
Oh, it does.
No, it doesn't. It goes on until we get 100 callers.
I don't want that to happen.
Are you kidding
me? I need to start coming to the meetings more often, I think is what my lesson, my takeaway here. All right, nobodies. Remember again, our email address is nobodylistenstoballpoundstone@gmail.com.
And you can find me and Adam on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. And you can find my remarkably soft tri-polyblend t-shirt with the self-portrait on the left breast and the memorable quote on the back at paulapoundstone.com.
You know, don't buy both of those things. Don't buy the pussy pillows and the t-shirt.
Why?
Or you might find yourself ending up like Paula has with her cats piercing her nipples. It just occurred to me.
Oh, because the smell of the...
if you're
we
if you're
will
holding...
send them separately.
Okay, great. We'll send them separately.
Yeah,
okay.
Because it is a pungent. The catnip toys are pungent. It's fairly fresh nip.
How deep into your 35-pound supply of catnip have you gone now?
We're still in the first pound.
All right.
Yeah.
All right, that's our show. Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone is hosted by Paula Poundstone. And also yours truly, Adam Felber. Produced by Paula Poundstone, Adam Felber, Bonnie Burns, Ken Lezebnik, and Tony Anita Hull. Technical direction by Ray Horseman. Thank you, Ray. And mixing by Michael Hoagie.
Hogua.
Special thanks to tonight's house band, Ian Werfel.
Hoguey.
Now that's Werfel. Thanks to our guest, Dr. Chris Carlson. Security muscle is provided by Tyler, the Studio City Behemoth Burke.
Berkey.
Transcription services for this show provided by TranscribeMe. For your special Paula Poundstone discount, use code Paula Poundstone when placing your order at TranscribeMe.com.
That's our show for tonight. Won't somebody please listen to me?
You couldn't ask me about that contest before the show?
You were on board with the contest. We talked about the contest.
We never talked about the contest.
You were on board with the contest. I mean, I had no idea that all the callers would want to talk to you.
Yeah, it's weird. They always seem to.
Oh, my God. You know what? I think because for them, you're very dependable because you're on every show.
Yeah, that's true.
Me, you don't know. There could be a substitute.
Oh, please.
People could call in and it could be Ellen.
Oh, wow. Yeah. No, let's not do that.
That makes them nervous.
Starburns Audio, a podcast, a podcast network.